April 6th. Nothing new to write, I'm afraid. It shrieks all night long, and squats there in front of the door during the day. Yesterday, in the afternoon, I finally managed to work up enough courage to move the piece of rubber to the side and look out through the gap. It was still there, but thank God I managed to move the rubber back into place before it had time to conjure any of those damned eyes. I'm beginning to worry that it's not just going to lose interest and leave. So long as I'm in here, it's going to go on sitting there, waiting. I've got to hope Katie got away. Hope she made it down out of the mountains and is bringing someone, is bringing help. Unless she is, then I feel as if I might as well be stranded on the moon. I'm running out of aspirin. I've been suffering from constant headaches since that first day, which make the waking hours almost intolerable. It's at its worst at night, with that thing at the door screaming away hour after hour, my head pounding and feeling as though it's about to split in two, my heart racing away in my chest. Sometimes it becomes too much to stand, and I pass out. Whenever I awaken from one of these faints, I feel a mixture of relief and terror. Relief, of course, because I managed to escape at least a few hours of that thing's harassment and the pain in my head, and terrified by the prospect of what could have happened if I had been in such a state when it finally manages to force the door open. At least, if I'm awake, I might have a chance to escape, to get away. Or maybe it would be better if I was unconscious when it got in here. Maybe being awake is the last thing I should want. I'm also beginning to suffer from nausea. I don't know if it's from the headaches, the smell, or just living in this state of constant tension. But it seems as though I can hardly keep anything down anymore. Even just looking at the cans of food is enough to make me ill. I know that I need to eat, that I have to keep up my strength until help arrives. But all I want to do is lie down in the darkness and try to sleep and escape from all of this. But that is becoming less and less of an escape due to the nightmares I've been having. April 11. Katie is dead. I know that now. I have begun to worry more and more about the door. It's holding up fine for now. But how many more nights before it starts to let go? It's fine now, yes, but about a week from now, or two? Because of this fact, I have been forcing myself to listen more closely at night, trying to listen for the sounds of wood beginning to crack, or the groan of nails slowly pushing loose. Anything at all that might warn me about the door coming apart. By doing that, however, I've also found myself listening more closely to it. The more I listen to it, the more a feeling of familiarity has been growing, and now I know I must have heard it somewhere. But where? The only thing I can relate it to is perhaps when you hear the Wilhelm scream in a movie. You might not immediately know where you recognize it from, but you know you've heard it before. I had been lying there in bed, listening to the door for a few hours, when I looked up and noticed a small black spider crawling across one of the beams. I lied there, watching it make its way across, enjoying the simple distraction from the noise going on outside and the pain in my head, until at last he climbed up into the shadows and out of my sight. Spiders of all sorts are hardly an uncommon sight up here in the cabin, and more than once I had thought it was strange that I hadn't seen any around the cabin since all of this began. Normally, I would have seen a dozen by now. And silly as it might sound, merely being able to see another living thing, even a little spider, came as something of a relief. I had never been bothered by the spiders we would find up here, even though Katie had always been terrified of them. More often than not, if she saw one, she would scream. The realization hit me like a brick, and suddenly I understood. It was her scream. And that, That thing had been mimicking the sounds that it had heard her make this entire time. I don't even remember how I got down from the loft, especially without breaking my neck, but I suddenly found myself standing before the door, knocking and shoving the furniture out of the way, pounding at the wood with clenched fists. I screamed every curse and obscenity I could think of at the thing, yelled every threat I could imagine. For a moment I had even considered finding something I might be able to use against it, maybe some oil and fire from the lamps. I would throw the bolts from the door and throw the burning oil at the thing in hopes that maybe it could be burned to death. It was an insane, stupid idea, and I didn't care. I just wanted to find a way to hurt this thing, to make it suffer, even if it cost me my life. As I stood at the door, my body shaking with rage and grief, clenching my bloodied fists, I realized the thing had grown silent. The only sound to be heard was my panting and the blood pounding in my ears. Had I actually startled the thing? Had it been confused by this sudden change to our nightly routine? Was it simply too intent on listening to me, to bother continue making noises of its own? The silence was broken by a small giggle. It was that small, innocent sort of laughter which is unique to small children, the one they seem to reserve for the discovery of something new and curious. If you have ever spent much time around children, then you will know the sound I mean. And this damned thing squatting on the other side of the door made the same noise, and it was in its own way even more terrible and obscene than its caricature of Katie's last moments. When I understood what this must mean, that a child, oh God, please no, it had been too much for my mind to bear, and I had reeled back from the door, collapsing onto the floor and blacking out. The only good to come from the whole ordeal was that my unconsciousness went unbothered by the nightmares that now seem to plague me whenever I attempt to sleep. So I now know that I am on my own, that Katie is not going to bring help. She's gone, and I am alone up here, utterly alone with it. My only hope is to last long enough for people to realize something must have happened, long enough for them to send people to check on us. I have enough supplies to last that long, especially with how little I have been able to bring myself to eat lately. All that matters now is that the door continues to hold. Katie, I will always love you. April 15th. It is making me ill somehow. I don't know how, but it is. I have no appetite to speak of, and when I do try to eat, it seems as though I can barely keep anything down but a bit of water. Even more troubling, however, is the fact that even though I haven't eaten anything solid in the past 2 days, I don't seem to be losing any weight. How is that possible? How can a man not eat for days and somehow not lose any weight? Honestly, I doubt I would like any of the answers I might find, and so I try to avoid thinking about it. My migraines are constant and agonizing, especially since I ran out of aspirin days ago and have nothing else to help ease the pain. Anything but the dimmest light is unbearable to me now, and when it screams during the night, it is torture. I sit here while it shrieks and howls and sputters, pulling at my hair and grinding my teeth, thrashing around in the bed, feeling as though someone is driving white-hot needles into my brain. The fact that I now know whose scream it really is only intensifies my suffering. Sometimes now, when I cough, I have begun to notice small black specks, like dried blood. Yet another thing which I prefer not to think about, my skin has begun to itch incessantly, and I'm beginning to develop a rash on several different parts of my body, somewhat similar to the one I got from poison ivy when I was a boy. My days have become a parade of misery, and sometimes I have to wonder if it's really worth it to keep going. When I try to escape this hell by falling asleep, all I seem to find is a different one. My sleep is filled with nightmares, each seemingly worse than the last, to the point that even the pain in my head is at times preferable to sleep. Last night, I dreamt Katie was standing on a barren black plain that stretched off as far as the eye could see, her arms outstretched, beckoning me closer. As I approached, I could see things moving beneath the skin of her face and arms, like worms, writhing and twisting away. I tried to turn from her, to run, but discovered I could not. My body kept walking towards this thing that looked like my Katie but wasn't, and I could not even force a scream from my throat. At one point, as I drew near, her eyes turned black and seemed to melt, oozing slowly down her cheeks. When I was nearly within arm's reach, her mouth began to slowly open, stretching impossibly wide, and inside it was full of these writhing things. She began to lean towards me, and thankfully I woke up. Some of them are like that. Others are stranger still, more surreal, bizarre landscapes populated by freakish creatures, things I almost doubt you could imagine, things which I don't even begin to know how to describe. I usually awaken from these dreams in a cold sweat, my heart racing and my head pounding, feeling the need to vomit, even though I know there is nothing in my stomach to vomit up. The worst of them are when I am in one of these bizarre places, looking at some of these things, and I can tell they are somehow looking back at me. These are the worst, and they seem to haunt me even when I am awake. All I can do is hope that help arrives before things get any worse, that I can last until someone comes up here to check on us. I don't want to die up here on this mountain, alone with that thing. I don't want to die. April 19. It called to me last night, pleading with me to open the door, to come out and join her. Dear God, it called out to me in her voice. April 26. There is no God, but there are many gods. There is no heaven, but there are endless hells. I have heard the flutes in the darkness. I have heard the thousand whispered names. April 29. This will be my last entry. I now realize that even if help did come, even if they somehow managed to get me out of here, it would now be too late for me. You see, more and more lately I've been scratching at my rashes, unable to stop myself. As I scratched and dug at them last night, I accidentally tore open one of the larger blisters, and when I moved away the torn skin, I saw that inside of it there was an eye, like the ones on that thing outside, a tiny white grape staring up at me from my own skin. I cut it out, but I know it doesn't matter at this point. I know that for whatever reason, it's turning me into something else, trying to make me into something inhuman. I am not going to let it. I've used the rope I found to tie myself a noose, and I've hung it from the rafters up in the loft. It should be more than strong enough to hold me, or at least for as long as I should need it to. With any luck, it will be long enough to break my neck when I jump. I think I deserve that much. I am going to die, and I am going to die as a man, as a human being. It has taken so much away from me, so very much, but I will not let it have this. If you find this journal, if you are reading this, then get out. Leave now, before it knows you are here, before it traps you like it did me. I can only hope that my jump from here will be into oblivion, that there is nothing waiting for me on the other side. Katie, I love you.